This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The mindset is definitely everything, right? If you have the mindset to work, the mindset that you really enjoy and love playing football, that fits our building, that works for us, that works with the guys that we already have here. We have a ton of guys in our locker room already who love football, and I just believe that when you love the game of football, right, we're gonna get your best, right? When you go through those difficult days, when it's gonna be hard moments in training camp, hard moments throughout the season, I feel like your love for football will give you that edge to keep pushing through when the difficult moments come.
All right, that's D'Amico Ryans talking on Saturday after the draft for the Texans was over. 9-player class, and we're going to hear from D'Amico on some of these guys here in just a second. It does seem like, Seth, that, and we'll hear from D'Amico here in a second, but when he gets asked about any of these guys, it's always the mental, the psychological, the love of football gets brought up first before any of the physical traits with any of these guys.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think they're trying to instill a culture. There's a culture on the defensive side of the ball. There's not a culture on the offensive side of the ball. And one other big thing that came out in this draft is, man, the Castario has a lot of respect for certain colleges that coach a certain way and teach a certain way. Iowa State is certainly one of those, and you draft two wide receivers out of Iowa State to add to a guy that
and he mentions Xavier Matt Hutchinson. Campbell by name a few times in that press conference.
Yeah,
their coach.
PJ Fleck at Minnesota, but also the offensive line coach there, Brian Callahan, has actually put out some good offensive linemen who have exceeded their high school recruiting status.
Yeah.
They've developed some guys there. So I think with Ursary, they like that. And those programs, and including Rutgers, I mean, Greg Schiano's the coach at Rutgers. They drafted Keontae Hamilton, the defensive tackle, in the 7th round. Nick mentioned them. He kept mentioning how they coach him hard, and you want guys that come into your program that are willing to accept coaching. I mean, Kamari Lassiter, they said the same thing about him when they drafted Kamari Lassiter. He's got from a defensive players at Georgia get coached hard, and Lassiter was one of the lead dogs at that program. They almost, I think they've got a bunch of colleges out there that they almost like to think of as their AAA. And they feel like they're getting a certain type of player when they get them from those schools.
There's definitely head coaches that they look at the collegiate level, and they say that guy coaches a lot like our head coach coaches. They look for the same thing in players. I think Iowa State and Minnesota, too, not to pick on those schools. I almost think if you're going there to play football, you better love football. If you're in Ames, Iowa, and up in Minnesota for most of the year, you better love football.
Well, and you know, Casario said it respectfully, but he talked about Eastern Kentucky, where Jaden Higgins started out. Is like, hey, that's it's kind of a developmental school, you know.
Right.
It's not. Yeah, Jaden Higgins spent 2 years at Eastern Kentucky before he transferred to Iowa State, and he had to improve and, you know, really actually work at it. There's evidence of him actually having worked at it.
Yep. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the two Iowa State wide receivers, Jaden Higgins in the 2nd round, top of the 2nd round, 34th overall, near the top. And then Jalen Noel, the wide receiver out of Iowa State.
Both guys, Jaden and Jalen, I mean, terrific men, first and foremost. And you got two different guys, right? You talk about playmaking ability, Jalen's ability to stretch the field and the deep end of the part of the field. And you have Jaden, just a big target, very similar. I know a lot of people said very similar to Nico and what he's able to do. But you get a receiver his stature and with his catch radius, just opens up a lot of things for us offensively that I know, you know, all of our guys are excited about. CJ should be excited about, you know, the targets that he has to throw to.
All right, so
the athleticism of the speed underneath and then the deep speed that Jaden Higgins has, it mirrors what they already have on the roster in Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. So there's a little bit of redundancy there in a good way. At any given time, some of these guys are going to get injured. You know, Higgins and Noel still have to prove that they can play in the NFL.
Sure.
I don't want to get ahead of myself here. You know, Lamont accused us of calling Jaden Higgins Nico 5.0.
Did he?
No, the comp before the draft was Nico Collins.
Yeah.
We were talking about him, how he's physically a lot like Nico Collins.
Right,
The body, the size, the speed, everything else, he's very, very similar to Nico Collins. So you hope that he can be as good as Nico Collins, but that's the type of player he is, an X receiver type.
Did you have a preference at 34? Because Luther Burden was there as well. He went with the very next pick, I think, to Chicago. I think it was interesting that the Titans and the Raiders both traded out of their spots immediately after Higgins went off the board, and that Chicago took a receiver with that next pick in Luther Burden. Did you have a preference going into that pick as to the receiver you wanted there, if you wanted a receiver at all?
Luther Burden was talked about a lot more, so he had the more name brand appeal.
Yeah,
I didn't think that the Texans would be into Luther Burden just because there were also a lot of people questioning whether Luther Burden was a guy that really loved practice, and there was that one anonymous quote that he'd show up on Saturdays, but that was
Monday through Saturday. Just show up on Saturdays. Yeah, yeah.
So you always take those with a grain of salt, but if there was any truth to it, I suspected that the Texans wouldn't be into Luther Burden.
Yeah,
I would have. Now, I did want more speed because I'm not banking on Tank Dell being back this year.
Yeah.
And if he does come back from that injury, I don't think he's going to be the same version of himself right away. So I was kind of feeling like, okay, we don't go now before anybody says anything, Jaden Higgins is very fast. It's just a different type of speed. It's a build-up speed.
Yep.
You know, like if you look at his athletic profile, all the straight ahead speed stuff is really, really good. When it comes down to the shorter area stuff, he's not as quick as a guy like Luther Burden or Jalen Noel.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's, you know, them drafting Noel, you know, later on in the third round that night kind of takes some of the teeth out of the Burden or Higgins question, because you did end up going and getting some speed. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the Texans' second pick on Friday night, Ariante Ursary, the offensive lineman out of Minnesota.
Yeah, Tay, you know, with Tay, we had a guy who brings, you know, that physicality, the mindset that I really think helps offensive linemen be good at their job. He's done a great job of playing left tackle and still has room to grow and develop. So excited about adding him.
Okay. So excited about adding Ursary, who, that'll be interesting to see, Seth, who he competes with and where he winds up if he gets on the field. If you had to, I don't know, do you think he gets on the field in his rookie? I mean, gets on the field. Do you think he is a starter at some point, barring injury for this team?
Ursary?
Yes.
I think that,
I know it's way early.
I know. Like Blake Fisher was a developmental guy. I don't think Ursary is as developmental as Blake Fisher was, just because Ursary is massive. Like, he is a big dude, whereas Blake Fisher is tall but kind of a lithe and lean guy. And with Blake Fisher, there are some things that he needs to work on to play with better pad level and to learn how to play with his body type. With Ursary, I think that he can show up, and he doesn't have to. It'd be great if he gets better knee bend along the way, but I don't think he really has to have better knee bend. There's lots of guys that play, if you're massive without great knee bend, you can kind of punch down as an offensive tackle as long as you're big enough and athletic enough, and he's very athletic. So the thing that would stop me from saying he's going to start year one is that I think Cam Robinson's been a very steady and competent starter at left tackle.
Yeah.
I think the more likely scenario is that Ursary ends up being the left tackle in 2026.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Like in a, I think in a perfect world, Ursary and Blake Fisher are your two tackles moving forward for the next few years after this season. After this season. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the other option would be it also just depends on. You ask me if any of these guys are going to start or what the configuration of the offensive line is going to look like. I don't know if Titus Howard's going to be playing tackle or guard.
Yeah.
It's just impossible to forecast for me right now exactly what the starting offensive line is going to look
like. Yeah, no, it's super intriguing, man. Like, it does make like that, you know, the beginning of camp, where a beginning of training camp or maybe even OTAs, who knows, where you go, okay, these are the this is who they're trotting out. This is the first five linemen that are on the field. I have no idea what permutation of guys that's going to be, you know?
Yeah, and it's I guess it's that wide open. I mean, if I have to handicap it, if I'm just saying likelihood, I think that Cam Robinson's the starting left tackle, and they're hoping that Ursary just develops and improves and ends up becoming the left tackle next year. But he might end up doing really well at right tackle, and it becomes a competition between Blake Fisher and Ursary, and Titus Howard is playing guard. Or they might, Blake Fisher might look awesome in camp this year, and they're very comfortable having Ursary just bide his time and learn how to be a left tackle. And at any point, one of them is going to play because of injury.
I think the safest bet on the offensive line for like week one, barring injury, is Cam Robinson starting at left tackle. I think the safest bet as to who is going to be on the field in week one is Titus Howard.
Yeah,
he's either going to be right tackle or left guard. We just don't know which position. I feel strongly that Cam Robinson, if he plays, will be left tackle.
One thing I've noticed is that I think Caserio, and this comes from times we've talked to him and otherwise, I feel like he's got a much more positive appraisal of how Titus Howard has looked at left guard than I do. I won't say we or anybody else, but I'm not as sold that he's actually been an asset at left guard, whereas Caserio feels differently.
Yep. Let's skip to day three here. And the first pick of day three, the Texans take one of their extra third round picks. They add two third round picks next season going into Saturday. They take one of those and they move into the fourth round to take USC running back Woody Marks, who's more of a third down kind of guy. John Harris got very excited about this pick, stood up, banged the table with his hands. He really liked the pick. Here was D'Amico Ryans on the selection of Woody Marks.
Really like Woody and what he's able to provide. Really like him out of the backfield, catching the football. Really great hands. Really has that ability to make guys miss at the line of scrimmage and the ability to play behind his pass, play physical. So like the addition of him to our running back room.
They needed some juice at the running back position. You know, Damian Pierce has been their backup. They say publicly they are effusive in their praise of Damian Pierce, which never seems to translate into how he's used or even if he's used with this team on Sundays.
Right. And I think that with Damian, that's the big wild card in all of it, is we know that Caserio and D'Amico really like Damian Pierce, that Damian Pierce looked a whole lot better when Pep Hamilton was calling the plays. Then a new offensive coordinator came in. That offensive coordinator gets fired as Damian Pierce wasn't doing a whole lot. And I'm guessing they're really eager to see exactly what Damian Pierce does with Nick Caley's scheme, whatever it looks like.
Yep.
And so Damian is, doesn't project to be, or Damian isn't as good a receiver as Woody Marks projects to be.
Correct.
So that's the intriguing part of it is, man, if Woody Marks can pick up pass protection and everything else like that, you love the thought of having him out there on third down. He's got more of an explosive element to him than a Gumbawale, perhaps.
He was one of the guys like Jalen Smith in the third round, Woody Marks in the fourth round. I'll say Graham Mertz also, the quarterback in the sixth round, who feel like they were drafted above where the experts had them, by and large.
Yeah.
If you did a consensus big board, in fact, there is one out there. We should go look. Those guys were all well below where the Texans selected them. But the Texans, obviously, they're drafting for role on the team more so than just the overall player.
Well, and that's where, when it gets down to the fourth round and later especially, and really in the third round, I feel like it's just all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's going to be scheme, your team, how you like these players. Nick had said that their board is probably smaller than a lot of other teams.
Yeah.
So I think that they might just value different things. And that's not specific to the Texans. That's just across the league.
Yeah.
It's just all over the place.
Here's Jalen Reed. This is Jalen Reed, the sixth-round pick out of Penn State. Safety, good college player. This was Jalen Reed getting the phone call from Nick Caserio on Saturday that he was gonna, the team was gonna make him a Houston Texan.
Hello,
Jalen, Nick Caserio with the Texans. How you doing, bud?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Congratulations, we're gonna turn the pick in. We're excited to have
Let's
you.
Do it.
You're a good football
Let's
player.
Let's do it.
So.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let me.
Let's do it.
Here's Coach Ryan's.
Let's do it.
Hey, Jalen, congrats, man.
Hey, get the Texans hat. Get the Texans hat. Let's do it. Appreciate it, Coach.
You get that Texans hat ready, man. We're fired up to have you.
All right, let's do it, Coach. Let's do it.
All right, I'm passing you over to our owner here. Yes. Tell me.
All right, bet. Let's do it. Let's do it. Man, let's go. I'm ready. Let's go.
Give everyone a hug there that helps get you here, okay, bud? And we'll see you soon.
I got you.
Congrats.
Jalen, I counted 14 let's do it on that call.
One of the big assets for a DeMeco defense was that Jalen Reed did have a couple of unnecessary roughnesses in college.
They're the Texans are like, we don't know how this guy made it to the sixth round.
They just want – DeMeco wants the dirty dozen out there, man.
Yes.
He wants guys that just – you got to harness all that energy and focus them in the right direction.
I love that. Oh, dude, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has a pupil on this team now, you know? Like, he can – I'm going to show you how to really unnecessarily rough people at the NFL level, kid. Oh, that's great. They drafted a quarterback, Graham Mertz, initially from Wisconsin. He transferred to Florida. He's been in Florida the last couple years. Tore his ACL midway through this season. Was having a decent year before he tore his ACL, though he was holding off DJ Lagway all year long, kid from right here in the Houston area who's going to be eventually a top pick in the draft. Mertz goes in the sixth round. The Texans trade up slightly to go get him. Here was Nick Caserio with his thoughts on the newest quarterback for the Texans, Graham Mertz.
Yeah, a lot of playing experience, you know, had some success at Wisconsin. They kind of went through the coaching transition there a little bit, and then he felt like the best opportunity for him was in Florida, and then he played there his first year, and then, you know, he got hurt a little bit, obviously, this year, but good demeanor, good presence, has good leadership, good size, you know, throws a pretty good ball, so the type of player that we felt had some traits and characteristics of that position that we wanted to work with, you know, and we had him here in the building, and he was as advertised. So, you know, we'll see how it goes when he gets here.
That is interesting. I had not seen that he was one of their visits to the building, Graham Mertz. You know, a lot of those get reported.
The thing about Mertz is that it's funny. When he was at Wisconsin, he's kind of a turnover machine. He threw double-digit interceptions both years. Then he gets to Florida and ends up – he had like a 239-pass attempt without an interception streak at one point. He dialed that part of it back, but then the knock on him is that he's a little too conservative and safe with the football. He's not as aggressive downfield as you want him
to be. Make up your mind.
So he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. I think that he's the biggest thing is less about Graham Mertz, I think, but just the strategy of drafting a quarterback, or especially trading up to get a quarterback. If you go back to the Patriots, they followed a strategy that I like, which is every year Tom Brady was the starting quarterback for the Patriots, every other year on average, they would draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
And it wasn't – it obviously they didn't need a quarterback, but it's the most valuable and important position in sports. And I think as a methodology, you should always be drafting quarterbacks for – at the very least, you don't have to pay Davis Mills – $5 to $10 million next year to keep him around as your backup quarterback.
The best case scenario here with Graham Mertz, you look at all these guys. What's the best case and worst case? Best case scenario is Graham Mertz shows them enough to where they're comfortable with him being their backup quarterback next year. They're going to need to go cheap at some positions, and backup quarterback might be one of them. Because I tell you this right now, this a year from now at this time, their quarterback position will be one of the most expensive positions, not just on the team, but in the league, if C.J. Stroud gets the contract extension that we hope he deserves this time next year. You know? Yeah.
He can run a little bit.
Mertz?
Yeah.
Not on a bad ACL, he can't. Yeah.
Well, ACL, no big deal. Yeah. That's the Tommy John of the NFL.
That's right. All right. So Payne and Pendergast, that's our draft class. There's a couple other guys. Kevontae Hamilton, D-tackle out of Rutgers. Luke Lachey, tight end out of Iowa. If you're going to take a flyer on a tight end, do it on one from Iowa. With the third to last pick of the draft. All right, Bill Belichick did an interview with CBS Sunday Morning that was incredibly awkward. We will play the most awkward, well, we'll play a lot of this interview for you, but the most awkward part had to do with his relationship with his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. And you really get a feel from this interview just how much she's got him on a string. We'll get to that and some other interesting nuggets from that interview coming up next.